4, verses 7 to 13. But to each of us is grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it is said, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens, but in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
エペソ人への手紙4章の7節から13節までを日本語でお読みします。しかし私たちは一人一人キリストの賜物の計りに従って恵みを与えられました。そこでこう言われています。高いところに登られた時、彼は多くの捕虜を引き連れ人々に賜物を分け与えられた。この登られたという言葉は、彼がまず地の低いところに下られたということではなくて、何でしょう。この下られた方自身が全てのものを満たすために、もろもろの天よりも高く登られた方なのです。こうしてキリストご自身がある人を使徒、ある人を預言者、ある人を伝道者、ある人を牧師、または教師としてお立てになったのです。それは生徒たちを整えて奉仕の働きをさせ、キリストの体を立て上げるためであり、ついに私たちが皆信仰の一致と神の御子に関する知識の一致とに達し、完全に大人になってキリストの満ち満ちた御丈までに達するためです。
Good morning.How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Thank you, Toshio. Why don't we all stand and greet each other? Bless your neighbors. Yes. Amen. So there's a lot going on in Tucson, huh? It's a rodeo week. The gem show. That's past, right? Are they still around?
No.
It's over. Okay. Today's the last day, apparently. And then there's a golf tournament. So if you're out of town, take advantage of these things. Because this is what Tucson is known for, I guess. But we've been doing a series here called Foundations of a Healthy Church. And I want to talk about our purpose here as a church. Our purpose here as a church. That's important to straighten out, to be on the same page. I remember when I was in high school, I used to play basketball, and the coach always said, we need to be on the same page. In order for us to be a good team, everyone needs to be on the same page. The coach, the players, and each individual players. And I believe that's very important for the church as well, to be on the same page, so that what I expect as a pastor and what you expect as a congregation are the same. Because The study is from Rick Warren's book, A Purpose-Driven Church. And according to his research, he says about 90% of the congregation believe the church is for them to be cared for, to be shepherded. And he asked the same question to pastors, and pastors, about 90% of the pastors says the church is for the world, to reach out to the world. And so if there is a disconnect between what the pastor expects and what the congregation expects, then we're not on the same page. And just like in basketball, if you're not on the same page, oftentimes you're going to come off on the losing end more so than on the winning end. And you know, we're talking about church, there's no competition. There is competition in church. Not against other churches. Our competition, our enemy, is Satan, the world. And if we lose against them, it has eternal consequences. It's not simply, oh, we're going to win, we're going to lose one game. That doesn't mean a lot. It means a whole lot. It means a whole lot that we are on the same page and that we're, I don't want to use this word because it may have different connotations, but it makes a difference if we're winning. And Paul himself says, run in a way that you win the prize. And so as a church, I believe it's so important that we run in a way that we win the prize. Individually, corporately, as a body. Not just JCCT, but the church around the world. Most of you know, last Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, which means there are 46 days before Easter, right? You may practice Lent. Lent is a practice of fasting, abstaining from certain pleasures or certain desires. For example, my friend fasted from Cheetos for 40 days. I don't know how much God honored that fast, but he fasted from Cheetos for 40 days. I remember I used to fast watching television for 40 days. And man, if you know anything about the month of March, that is one of the biggest basketball season of the year. It's called March Madness. And I remember fasting 40 days during March Madness, and it would kill me. But I encourage you, even though we're past Ash Wednesday and it's already Lent, to consider giving something up, fasting, praying. By the way, I did not know this, just to give you information about Lent. Apparently, you could fast, but on Sundays, you don't have to fast. No one ever told me that. So I would fast television, and even though it was legal to watch it on Sundays, I didn't watch it because no one ever told me. And I'm like, 40 days? This is more than 40 days. And I always thought to myself, and then one day I saw somebody on a Sunday eating something they were fasting from, and I said, hey, you're not supposed to eat that, you're fasting. They're like, it's Sunday, you don't have to fast on Sundays. I'm like, what? And I was going to seminary at that time. Anyways, foundation of healthy church. Our purpose here on earth. First of all, just to give a recap, the church is built on the foundation, the cornerstone of the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Matthew 16:16 through 19, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "On this rock," and I interpret it as on this confession, Peter, that Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of the living God, that Jesus himself will build the church. That's important, that Jesus himself will build the church. And it says the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Now that's comforting to me as a pastor. It takes a lot of pressure off of me. My purpose is to get us to a place of health. Remove those things which are preventing Jesus from building His church. As long as we do that, Jesus will build His church. Ephesians 2:20 says, Christ Jesus Himself is the chief cornerstone. Again, the confession of Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Son of the living God, is the reason why we come together at the church. Now, I want to pose this challenge. Most of you have already made that confession, but for those of you who have not come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Son of God, I want to give you this challenge. Simply do one thing. It can be here right now, or it could be when you go home. Just ask, Jesus, if you're real, would you make yourself known to me? Just say that prayer. And if you don't know how to say that prayer, come up and I will pray for you. Jesus, if you are real, make yourself known to this person. No, I'm serious. If you have not come to that conclusion of Jesus is the living God, the Son of the living God, I want you to pray that prayer. Or I will pray that prayer for you. Now, as we come together with that confession, there are five essential practices we devote ourselves to. And even when we're not together, it's important to devote ourselves to these things. It's to the apostles' teaching, primarily through the Word of God, Scripture. Discipleship. Number two is devoted to fellowship. It's just as important to believe as it is to belong. Believing the right thing and belonging to the right group. It's important to do both. But fellowship not with just one another, but fellowship with God is important as well. Devoted to the breaking of bread, worship. Last week I talked a little bit about worship, that God searches those who worship in spirit and truth. God searches for those. Now, God loves everyone. God loves you, God, and He can't love you more or less. He is love. But there are certain people that catches His attention. And He says those are worshipers. Those who worship in spirit and truth. Devoted to prayer. And this is what I want to talk about mainly today. And devoted to witnessing. And this is all in the context of having an intimate relationship with that confession. Jesus, you are the Son of God, Son of the living God. All in that context, we are devoted to those five things. Apostles' teaching, fellowship, worship, ministry, witness. If the church, if we don't devote ourselves to these things, we're devoting ourselves to the wrong things. And of course, you know, things like ministry is encompassing. Ministry is not just simply praying, but ministry is caring for the poor, caring for the sick, caring for the widows, the orphan. That, and you know, you might be wondering why I'm not talking about those things. But these are encompassing five big essential practices we need to devote ourselves to. Again, last week I talked about there's only just a limited amount of time and energy that we have. And it's so important that we devote ourselves and spend our time and energy on the right things. Now these five, and I'm going to reference these to the big five, it is not an end in itself. It serves a purpose, and the purpose it serves is to become a mature minister. The purpose these five things we devote ourselves is to become a mature minister. Now, I was doing some research, watching TV last night. And apparently it's Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan's 50th birthday. You guys know these guys? Yeah, okay, good. All right, a couple of you guys. All right. I'm communicating. So it's their 50th birthday. I was a big fan of both of those, Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley. They're basketball players. They're one of the Michael Jordan is supposedly the best basketball player that ever played the game. Charles Barkley, one of the greatest power forwards to ever play the game. Definitely one of my favorite TV personalities these days. But anyways, Michael Jordan, in 1989, he lost in the conference finals to the Detroit Pistons. And in 1989, this man named Tim Grover, he is a trainer, was employed by the Chicago Bulls. Now, the reason why they employed him is because the Chicago Bulls lost to the Detroit Pistons because the Detroit Pistons were just too physical. They just overpowered those, the Chicago Bulls. After 1989, the Chicago Bulls went on multiple championships. And it was because Michael Jordan devoted himself to strength training, to conditioning, and to becoming stronger and better. They used to have practice from 11 o'clock at their arena, but Michael Jordan had what was called the Breakfast Club. And in the Breakfast Club, him, Scottie Pippen, and another player, Ron Harper, they used to get together every morning, work out, run, lift weights, and then afterwards they'd eat breakfast. That's why it was called the Breakfast Club. And then they'd go to practice. Talk about devotion. He was devoted to getting stronger, better, and the end result wasn't that he became the greatest looking basketball player. It wasn't that he became the fastest basketball player. No, he devoted those things to win championship rings. And Paul says, run in such a way that you win the prize. And so we devote ourselves to these five practices in order to become mature ministers. That is to say this. When somebody asks, who is the minister at JCCT, you would automatically say, I am, right? And rightly so. But Scripture teaches that we are all to be ministers. Each and every one of us. We are all called to serve in some way. Now, when I use the word ministry, some people may get a different idea of what that means. So let's replace that word ministry with service. We are all called to serve. And Ephesians 4, 7 through 8, the passage we just read today, it says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captive and gave gifts to his people. These aren't gifts in terms of entertainment, but edification. It says, to each one, grace has been given. To each one, gifts has been given. And when we think of gifts, I think a lot of times we make the wrong assumption that these gifts are for us. But these gifts are not for us, they're for edification. And Ephesians 4:12, it says, is to what? To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That is to say, you were called to serve. You were given grace and gifts to serve others, to build each other up. The great things about gift and giftedness is that we don't have to work for it. We don't earn gifts. It's just given. Now we can develop gifts, certainly. But it's just given. For example, the gift of prayer. We can all pray. Amen? Did we have to work for it? Was it something that we are now holy enough to pray? No. It's something that is just given. And God says He's given each and every one of us a certain gift. Grace for a gift. And as Ephesians 4:12 it says, it's to equip people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. A lot of times when we think of grace, an amazing grace, we think of it in terms of getting into heaven. And that's true. Grace will get us into heaven. But God is concerned about getting heaven into us as much as He's concerned as getting us into heaven. We often focus on saving grace and forget about serving grace. We are saved to serve. Jesus Himself says, I have not come to be served, but to serve. And in fact, He says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, learn to be a servant of all. And so He has given us a roadmap to greatness. Serving a lot of times thinks of, we think of something that's low on status, right? But Jesus says, no, this is the greatest. If you want to be great, learn to serve. Let me read 1 Peter 4:10. It says, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You know, if we ever come to the point of confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I know many of you have, we'll eventually have to learn to submit and serve. That's what it means if we call Him Lord. But again, submitting to His will is becoming, it is becoming great. Jesus is trying to teach us how to be great. In fact, Jesus is trying to teach us how to be more like Himself. Let me read our passage again from Ephesians 4. Excuse me. Uh, 4:7 it says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it or measured it out. That is why it says, when He ascended on high, He took many captives and gave gifts to His people. What does He ascended mean except that He also descended to lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe, so that Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the people for works of service. Let me just explain this real quick. I'm not going to be able to teach on all the aspects of these, but when it says, so Christ gave Himself the apostles. I'm sorry. I hope I'm not grossing you out by like wiping my snotter. Anyway, no, excuse me. But when it says Christ gave Himself the apostles, the prophets, these are offices. The apostle, the prophetic or the apostolic office. Now, since I'm not going to teach on it, I'm not going to give you an answer whether this office is closed or not. Thank you, honey. But the apostles, their job was to establish the church. Peter, Paul, well-known apostles who established the church. And some may say someone like a John Wesley. You guys know him? Yes. Or somebody like Yuji Fujioka. He is the one that established the OMS Holiness, I believe. Was that his name? No, no, Toshio, did I make? But so someone like a John Wesley will have an apostolic calling in his life, because the Methodist Church is so big. Someone like an Apostle Paul or an Apostle Peter, those are apostles that establishes the church. Now the prophetic office, I believe each and every one of us have the gift to prophesy at one point or another, but not all of us are called into the prophetic office. And a prophetic office is simply to be able to give direction to the church. They were called seers in the past. And if you look at their ministry in the Old Testament, they always led the people of Israel, they always tried to lead the people of Israel back to the path of the Lord, whether through rebuke or just giving them what was on the Lord's heart. And I believe the prophets, the prophetic office, they do that the same today. They give vision. They see. They're seers. They're part of the eyes. The next is the evangelist. So you establish a church. You give it direction. The evangelists, they bring the people in. The pastors, they shepherd the people. They make sure they're spiritually fed. They make sure the people are spiritually maturing and growing. And the teachers, they do the same. They teach, they instruct, they inform to transform. And so you see those different offices. It says the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, teachers. And they all have a purpose. Now, I don't believe we're all called to one of those five offices. But we all have a spiritual gift. Whether we're called to those offices or not, it depends on the Lord. But we all have spiritual gifts. And it says this, so that the reason why he gives these offices and the reason why he gives these gifts is so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature. Again, like I said, we're called to mature ministers, right? Mature servants. Because it's so important that we understand it's about maturity. Because serving through our giftedness, let me just put it this way. If I ever preach a great message, it is a gift of God. Amen? It doesn't mean I'm holy. If I ever, when Marilyn and Tamal, they lead us into a great time of worship, it's a gift. It's not that they're holy. If I ever prophesy, if I ever heal somebody, if I ever cast demons out, it doesn't mean it was because I was holy that week. In fact, I could have probably had the most sinful week, and God wanted to prove that it's by grace I could do amazing things. And that's why it's so important that he places that maturity in there, mature minister. Because maturity has to do with character. Ministry has to do with gifting. They're two separate things. Oftentimes we forget that ministry is a gift, and so we look at mature, or we look at gifted ministers and say, man, that person is spiritually mature, and that could be the furthest from the truth. So it's important that we get that, we have these spiritual gifts, and we have these spiritual offices so that we may all reach faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And that is where I want to end today, is the church, through grace, equips people to serve, and the end result is to become more like Jesus. Is to become more like Jesus. In the beginning, it says, God made human beings in His image. Right? And if you ever do a study on Genesis, which some of you are doing, It means that if an angel were to have flew by Adam, he would have done a double take and said, "Oh, I thought that was you, God." But it's actually Adam. It was in the image of God human beings were made. But because of sin, that image was marred. And Jesus now comes and establishes the church and says the church, its purpose is to reestablish that image so that we all may attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so what does that mean? That means if you're not serving in the giftedness that God has given you, we will never reach the fullness of Christ. If you do not pursue the spiritual gifts that He has given you, we will not become the full measure of Christ, the fullness of Christ that we are all called to. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're young or old, God has given you a gift. The greatest gift He has given you is called the Holy Spirit. And He will teach us, lead us, and guide us. And so some of you sitting may say, start thinking, okay, where do I start? Where do I begin? Right? No? Maybe? Okay. Well, let me give you somewhere to begin. Because it may sound overwhelming. We're all called to ministry. We all have to preach. No, you don't all have to preach. Don't worry. Although, if you want to preach, tell me. I'll be very open to that. Although, it's not an open mic. But where do you start? Where do I start? Okay, if I'm here to minister, if I'm here to serve, where do I start? And it's very simple. Start wherever you can. And again, I said all of us could pray, right? Well, start there. Ask God. Heck, pray for me. Not too long ago when I was sick, about 3 weeks ago, I was really sick. Marilyn and Wayne, they said, "Can we pray for you?" And I said, "Yes." And they laid their hands and prayed for me. And that was really encouraging, I got to tell you. They ministered to me. Even though I'm the minister, they served me. It's as simple as saying, "Hey, can I pray for you?" We can all do that. Amen? In fact, we should all be doing that. Especially if we want this place to be a place of encountering God, it doesn't happen just by wishful thinking. But if we pray for someone, God can encounter that person. Amen? That is to say, come and pray for me more. No, but pray. Pray for other people. 1 Timothy 2:1, it says, "I urge you, therefore, to pray. When we start as the church, when we begin to serve, not just ourselves, when we begin to serve others, we will go on the road to greatness of becoming Christ-like, the full measure of Christ. And when that happens, I believe Jesus will come back for His bride. When we reach the full measure of Christ, Jesus will say, "They're ready. Let me come for my bride." The world is waiting for the church to reach its fullness. And unless we serve, unless you serve, it's not going to happen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the church. Jesus, we thank You that You died for the church, that You established the church, and through the church, You are bringing us to a fullness of Christ. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will learn our gifting, and that we would use the greatest gift that You have given us, the Holy Spirit, and through prayer, just begin to serve one another and begin to seek and search out other areas where we're gifted in. And Father, again, I pray for those who may not have come to the confession that you are Lord and Savior, that they would take seriously this claim that you make. And that they would simply ask, if you are Lord and Savior, would you make that real? Would you reveal that to my life? Father, I do pray that you would reveal to each and every one of us who you are. That we would all have a greater revelation of you, Jesus. We thank you so much for today. We lift your name up. In Jesus' name, amen.